pray before we worship. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you first and foremost for waking us up, for giving us breath in our lungs this morning and allowing us, giving the opportunity to praise you, to worship you, and to lift up your name. We just invite you now, God. We invite you into our minds and into our hearts. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this atmosphere, into this place. And you just remind me that you're already with us, because where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord Jesus, there you are in the midst. Thank you for being here with us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you just help us to worship you with one mind and in one accord. Please come and visit us powerfully this morning, God. Visit us powerfully this morning so we would be changed for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's worship.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I tried with all my heart, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a bag of bones.
Master. thanks to Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Come on.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. You turn me around, you place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, you picked me up, you turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Thank you.
bright shining as the sun.
Show me who you are and Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our firm foundation, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we cannot be shaken, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we can put our complete trust in you, Lord, that you are our foundation, Lord. Lord, that you can lead us. Lord, that you lead us to love those that are around us, Lord. Lord, that we are so firm in your foundation, Lord, that we completely trust you, Lord, that when others hear about you, Lord, they can feel the love that only you can provide, Lord. They can feel the joy and the comfort that comes from you, the one and only God. God, and as we thrive this year, Lord, Lord, I seek that we are looking to you, Lord, that we are daily walking with you, Lord, to listen for your prompting, Lord, so we know who it is that you want to reach, Lord. Lord, that we're serving faithfully, that we're serving in the place that you have designed us to serve in, Lord. Lord, that we're giving of our time, Lord. We're giving to you, Lord. We're giving everything back to you, Lord. And we're sharing you with people, Lord. We're standing on that firm foundation, Lord. We're trusting in you, Lord, that we are sharing and leading others to you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You guys can go ahead and be seated. Hey, if this is your first time here, we just want to welcome you. We want to welcome you, and we do that by honoring you. They already know. We clap for you. We want to honor you. Welcome to Seaport this morning. Hey, and you know what? We don't want to just clap for you. We want to really connect with you. And the way that we do that, all you have to do is text the word welcome to 860-969-2145. A little link will come back to you. You just have to fill it out. And then, shabam, we're connected just like that. And we're also available on social media. We're available on Facebook, on YouTube. If you just want to, you know, email the office staff. It's office@seaportcommunitychurch.org. And then, hey, if you're looking for one of those bulletins, you know, we're contactless church. And so on the front of the seat backs in front of you, there's a little QR code. If you just scan it with your phone, it'll take you to our webpage and our app, and then you can get the bulletin there. Welcome to church this morning.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. So 1 year, good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Brad. And 1 year ago today, thanks, Heather, for bringing that to my attention, we wrapped up the Blessing Project. 9 consecutive Saturdays. Woo! Come on, look at this. Okay, people lined up, okay? Look at this. They lined up out the driveway, down the street. And one day, they did this for 9, if you're new, we partnered with Farmers to Families. We got trailer truckloads of 30-pound boxes of food, and we gave them away free of charge. And that line right there, one Saturday went down 184 almost to 117, where it crosses 184. That's out. And they stood in the rain. They stood in the cold 9 consecutive Saturdays. Show the last slide here. There is. That was the last Saturday. 11,466 boxes. It was wild. It was. I think that, and Brittany, as you said, Brittany Bruno and then Ed and Melissa Miles really spearheaded this thing. And all of you that helped on that project, stand up, would you? Everybody who helped on that project. Look at this. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Go ahead and be seated. It was just amazing. It was amazing. In so many ways, we saw people commit their lives to Christ. We saw people physically healed out there in the parking lot. And I think Brittany said to me, this was the, I guess it was the last day the forklift broke. We had a huge freezer truck out in the back, and we had to move everything out of that via a forklift that a local company gave us the use of, and it broke down, and we had to move everything by hand, and it was brutal. Some of you didn't need to go to the gym for 2 weeks after that, but it was wild. But you guys made it happen, and it was amazing. And here's the thing that people continually said to me. And you know, I was managing a lot of the media associated with it. And they said, you know, the people are just so kind. They're just so generous. I asked for one box. They insist I take two. And I'm like, yeah, I know they're a little crazy over there. But so they were just so appreciative. And they really appreciated the gracious heart with which you served. And so keep it up. Amen. Amen. It's really amazing. So Pastor Debbie and Melissa are going to come right now. And we want you to understand clearly what's happening here on the Good Friday and on Easter Sunday morning so that you're absolutely clear on this. And so Pastor Debbie, come and tell us. And if some of you are new and you haven't quite figured this thing out, September, 44 years, okay? So, all right, just so you kind of make that connection, okay? So, what is happening with the Journey to the Cross? What is that?
Journey to the Cross is a multimedia, multi-sensory experience for you and your family. It's good for all ages. It's a walkthrough project. It'll be starting at noon on Good Friday and going until 8 p.m. that evening. You'll bring your family, you'll visit the stations right here in this room and experience the things that Jesus experienced in the last hours on earth on that day. And it's good for any age. It's something that you're going to do with your family, you're going to do it with your children, and it's a wonderful bonding time for you and your kids. You can go as fast through it as you'd like or as slow and contemplative and prayerful as you would like, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Invite your friends to join you as you walk through the journey of the cross.
And then come anytime, right?
Anytime from 12 to 8.
Thank you. And you just come in right into the sanctuary here. It'll all be set up. And just, again, anytime you want between those hours and for as long or as little of time as you want, okay? So then Easter Sunday morning, what happens, Melissa?
Drum roll. Easter Sunday, amazing. I love Easter service. It's just such an awesome time to just, obviously every week we present the gospel to the kids, but we all know there's something special about Resurrection Sunday, right? So we have full kids ministries. We're going to have two services. So we have a 9 a.m. and an 11 a.m.
Thank you. All of you kids ministry people that are going the extra mile that day, thank you. Thank you.
So two services so we can fit all of our friends. And we have full kids ministries for both services. So we'll have nursery, we'll have our early childhood program, and kids church available. And then following each service, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt, which I'm super excited. It's our first one that we've had in several years. So an Easter egg hunt following each service. We'll have over 2,000 eggs. It'll be a lot of fun. And as I mentioned, it's such a special service. Yes. To be able to present the gospel to the kids in such a real way. And also, can I mention real quick? So next week is Palm Sunday, and our early childhood class is going to be doing a special song for all of us. So make sure you come out next week. Bring your kids so they can be part of the performance and jump in, and make sure you're here so you can see it.
So our grandson has been rehearsing this with us, and we've been helping him. And as it will be super. I'll use Melissa's word, super cute. Okay? And it will be that. It will be that. So thank you, ladies, so much. Yeah, and please, yeah, on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, it's important that you register. This will just help us to prepare. That's all it's for. So we'll know who's coming when, 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock, just so we know. It'll just help us to be prepared for you. Amen? All right. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate your help. So you've been hearing a lot about this. We like the word blessing around here a lot. That's a great word. We like this. So this gas card or blessing card, a whole bunch of you have signed up to give these away. I have 100 of these, about 40 or 50 have been spoken for. So there's some left. This long story here, but God just put this into our heart to take about $1,000 out of our budget and use it to bless people around the community. And so that's what we're going to do. And so this Costco card, you don't have to be a member of Costco to use it, but all I want you to do is sign up, go right through the app right now, sign up and put down two names. And if you need more than that, you can see Robert at the information desk after the service. We're asking you to think of at least two people that you're in relationship with, that you know that are not Christians, that you can just bless. Give them this card. There are no strings attached. There's an invitation to Easter on the back of it, obviously. There's an invitation. But this is just a way of blessing some people. It's a $10 card. They can use it for gas. They can use it for anything at Costco. So, and again, don't have to be a member there. So just, and I'm asking you to put the names of people down. Why? We won't contact them. The only reason we're doing that is that I will get a complete list of who has signed up to do this and your friends. I'm going to pray over every name, all your friends, and ask some of our prayer team to pray over your friends, that God will just minister to them. And we just want to bless them. Can we do this? Can we do this? So get on that app right now and sign up and do that. Or you can sign up afterwards, or stop by the information center. Gino will be there and Robert will be there and they will help you to do that. Okay? So there's a lot happening around here. And here's something else. We're trying to give you opportunities to be able to effectively reach out, love your friends, minister to them, help them in their spiritual journey. I want you to watch this quick trailer to The Case for Heaven by Lee Strobel. Many of you are familiar with that. Let's watch this movie trailer, and then I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with it. Let's watch.
Do we have a soul that survives our physical demise? It was the most ambitious investigation of my life. Can near-death experiences tell us anything reliable about life after death? And why should we trust what Jesus tells us about heaven and about hell?
Jesús dice, yo soy el camino. La verdad y la vida.
They are trying to find some way to live on beyond their death. They're running out of time.
The whole point of the resurrection is that I wouldn't have to fear it in a sense of, oh no, what's going to happen next.
I didn't really care whether I was going to heaven or hell.
I have absolutely no idea what happens after we die.
There's something that it is to be us. There's something that it is like to be you.
When we die, we leave our natural bodies, but we're still ourselves. It's life on steroids. It's life beyond anything we've experienced.
If that typewriter could magically send a message to young Lee that started here, what would you tell him?
Oh, man, I think I'd say, keep seeking. The truth is out there. This is my case for heaven.
That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. Lee Strobel was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He was an atheist, and his wife became a Christian. So he went and he used all of his journalistic powers to investigate the claims of Christ in order to persuade her away from her faith. And it ended up, he persuaded himself to become a Christian. That's what happened with him, okay? So he's written a whole series of books called The Case For, and this is the movie based upon that. You know, it's a great opportunity. So this is what we're going to do. If you will go online and book a ticket for you and a friend that doesn't know the Lord, okay, you know, doesn't know the Lord, and you're willing to take them, you can take them to Mystic Luxury Cinema. You can take them to Stonington there, or you can take them to Lisbon, you know, and check the times. Go online, book your ticket, book your seats. If you'll do that, I will buy your ticket and your friend's ticket. Okay? So, I mean, you do, all you got to do is give me the receipt, send the office a receipt, and we will reimburse you promptly for that. You know, $30 for the two of you to go. What a great investment. A great investment in you, a great investment in your friend. So do that. You got to move fast because it's tomorrow, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. Check the times in those three theaters. Be part of that. You know, let's seize these opportunities. Amen. Redeeming the time. Amen. Come on, let's move fast. Is your friend worth it? Is your friend worth it? Yes. Your friend is worth it. Your friend is worth it. Come on, there's more to tell you. Come on, Chris, come and tell us about this. Hallelujah. So much going on around here.
And they can't say they don't have any gas to get there because you can also bless them with a gas card, right? Hey, so we have some great opportunities coming up. So make sure that you download the app. If you don't have it, you can do it on the back of the seat backs in front of you. All right, so room, 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 start your engines. The Ranger Derby is coming up on Saturday. If you have not made your car yet, you should probably do that. If you don't have one, there are still some available in the information center. Then this Wednesday, Engage is happening actually during service. So make sure you sign up for that in the app. It'll be with Pastor Brad in his office. And then, hey, the blessing of the bikes is happening again this year. Come on, come on. It is on May 1st, but you need to share this event. Make sure you go onto the Facebook page, take it, share it on your page so that it gets widely disseminated to everyone. And then, hey, men, don't forget this Wednesday, we are continuing our Way of the Warrior after service on Wednesday. And don't forget, there'll be pizza there. Make sure you guys are there. And then this Wednesday, I will be taking you through Triumph of the Gospel on Wednesday. Hope to see you there. Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to release the youth. All youth, we're leaving right now.
That's great. It's great. Just before Adam comes, continues our series, Headliners. We're looking at leaders, and he's going to talk to us about Peter. I'm looking forward to this. And just a couple of, we're going to honor the Lord with our giving. But just before we even do that, a couple of quick things. All of you who came yesterday and helped for the workday, could you stand up? I need to recognize you. You worked so hard yesterday. The place looks, all of you that came. All right. Thank you. Woo. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, our deacon, Matt Strand, for coordinating that. You guys moved some gals out there, too, moved a lot of leaves. He did that. I mean, the lawn got fertilized. I mean, that's great. You know, they planted four new trees where we got a blight last year and lost four trees in our parking lot. They planted brand new trees out there, and so it's looking good for the Lord and for those who are coming. Amen. So there's so much happening around here. We're so grateful for that. You know how to give, and I'm so thankful. Let me just say this to you. When Paul wrote a letter to the church of Philippi, he said these words in chapter 4, verse 17. He says, he writes to them, and he thanks them for their gift. And he says, guys, I'm not encouraging to give so that I personally will get a gift from this. I'm not trying to manipulate you for me. And he said, all I want is for you to be blessed. And that's my heart. You know, I encourage you to give. It's not going to change my personal life. You know, it's not coming to me. I encourage you to tithe. I encourage you to give because I know that generosity produces a response from God's life and heart and resources to you. And that's why I encourage you every week to give, because it blesses the kingdom and it blesses you. Amen? That's why I do this week after week, you know, week after week. And so that's why I do it. And I'll never forget, one of you told me this. You said, yeah, I bet you were talking to one of you're talking to your friend who was not a Christian. And your non-Christian friend said, yeah, I bet you your pastor lives in some great big mansion, right? And he goes, no, I've been to his house. It's not a mansion. 1,300 square feet. It's a box. You know, thank God for the box. I love it. But you know what? So it's not impacting me. It's impacting the kingdom of God. Amen. And blessing you. Amen. Hallelujah. So you know what? There's lots of ways to give around here. One of those ways, of course, is you can go to these kiosks out here, those little boxes. You can physically give that way. You can go online and give through text in church, or you can give through the app. Lots of ways to give. Thanks for being faithful. And you know what? Thank you. I'm watching my phone light up with emails from those of you signing up for the gas card. It comes right to my phone. It tells me, thank you, Alex. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Melissa. It's coming right there to my phone. Real time. I'm watching you. How about that? I'm watching you. Sign up right there. I'm your pastor. I watch out for you. Coming right there. My phone's bing, bing, bing. Hallelujah. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Watching you sign up to do that. Yeah. Yeah, Josh Lanzer's on there too. Go, Josh. All right. So thank God. One last thing before Adam comes. We've been very concerned about the whole Ukraine thing, and been watching that carefully. Our board, and of course, you as a congregation, we as a church, our own Quinn is in Poland helping with Ukrainian refugees today, right now. He's right there, right now. And this church invested $1,353 in him, sent him over there, helped him go over there. So we've invested in that. But before that ever happened, the board had made a decision to give at least $1,000 out of our existing missions fund. Yeah, we're running behind in both of our missions fund and our general fund budget. We're way behind, but we're going to give anyway. We're just going to give in faith. And so the board made a decision to give $1,000 out of our missions fund because, you know, we could afford that. And I began to look for a project, and I said, I don't know where to put this money. I got to make sure it goes in the right with the right people in the right place. So I found the right people. Remember Christopher Alam, who was here in December? Okay, he's got connections over there. You always got to make sure that you're working with the right people because scams are heavy duty. So what we're going to do is Seaport is going to invest $1,000 into buying a van that looks just like, this is not the exact one, but this is a van that's going to be used to help move Ukrainian refugees out of danger. Okay? It's a $14,000 vehicle. $4,000 has been raised. With Seaport's money, $5,000 has been raised. They're working on another $9,000. You know, and some of you, if God speaks to you about that, I'll show you and tell you how to invest in that so that the money gets safely to there. 100%. If you give to this, 100% of what you give will go to that van, buying that van. It's a people mover. It'll move people quickly out of danger and with a group of trusted people. Sometimes you wonder, where does my money go? It goes to places like that. Places like that. Why don't you stand with me? Let's pray just before Adam comes and preaches on Peter. Let's pray for Ukraine. And, you know, the political part, I'll let God work that part out. But Lord, I think of Ukrainian people and Russian people today. God, very few seem to really want this thing. There's a war over there. And God, I pray that you bring peace somehow or another. You deal with all the various entities and powers. But Lord, my concern are the people who've lost everything. God, there are so many Christians that are over there and they're involved in helping and ministering and caring. Facilitate their efforts. Thank you that we can be part of this. Lord, thank you that we can invest in this. Thank you that we can invest in Quinn and in this van. And God, just do something far beyond us. Thank you for the privilege of that. It's amazing. that you can use us that way. Thanks, Lord. Be glorified. Now give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us through your word, through Adam. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, be seated. Adam, come on. Here we go with the Apostle Peter. Yay.
Good morning, church. Man, let me just say, before I even get into it, I love how many people are here this morning. You know what I mean? I'm glad to see new faces. If we have not met yet, and you still want to meet me after my sermon, then, see, the old people that have been here for a while, they know why I said that. You will, all right. We have, right, see, thank you, Bob. Regulars, not old people, sorry. Not a good start. All right, we've all heard the saying, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up, right? And I'm here for that. I say yes and amen to that. God's steadfast love endures forever. His mercies are new for us each and every day. But that axiom is only as good as our ability to learn from getting knocked down, right? We don't want to keep walking into that same right hook, you know? You got to keep your hands up. Boldness is good. It can be virtuous. But that doesn't mean that we're meant to lead with our chins. This axiom is also only good for people that are actually in the fight. Right? You don't have to worry about getting knocked down if you're not in the ring. But guess what? If you're a Christian, that's not an option for us. We are called to fight. We are called to make war. We are called to conquer. We are called to conquer. Yes. Thank you. The Apostle Peter, originally known as Simon, mentioned as Cephas in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he personifies that famous saying. Peter is always in the fray. He is always throwing haymakers. And sometimes he connects. And other times, he opens himself up and gets caught with a kidney shot, knocks him to his knees. Peter was a fisherman before Christ found him. Simple man, not a man of means, not a man of high education. But he was a man that God used powerfully in order to progress his kingdom. To a simple man that God called to confound those that thought that they were wise. His zeal for Christ's rule and reign, for the kingdom of God, allowed him to be the primary leader in the first century church. And Peter ought to be an encouragement to all of us who are not perfect leaders. And by that, I mean he ought to be an encouragement to all of us. He is a warning to pay attention very closely to the things that God tells you in his word and in your heart. He is also a great encouragement in the fact that God can use lowly and sinful people to do great things for his kingdom. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look through a couple of instances in Peter's life this morning when he was able to deliver great blows to the chin of darkness, and other times when he didn't see sin's counterpunch coming and it took him to his knees. So if we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 15. And Jesus is talking to his disciples about different rumors that they've heard about who the people in the towns, where they're going, where they're ministering, who they say that Jesus is. What are they saying about Jesus? So Matthew 16, starting in verse 15, Jesus says this, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Don't miss this. This is a supernatural event. We get caught up in Jesus' healing miracles, in his casting out of demons. But if we get too focused on those sorts of things, we miss a miracle like God implanting knowledge of who he is into the mind of a human being. That is a supernatural event. Peter didn't deduce who Jesus was. He didn't learn who Jesus was through study and logic. God the Father gave him that knowledge. He implanted that knowledge in his mind, and it took root in his heart. This is a supernatural event that changed the entire course of Peter's life from there on out. Yes, don't get me wrong. Study, logic, things of this nature, it brings us a greater, a fuller, a more glorious picture of who God is. I find myself in my greatest moments of praise when I am studying God's word, when I am learning who God is and the great things that he's done and how it just all fits together so perfectly. I praise God for that kind of knowledge that I can get through study. But all of that doesn't happen without that original miraculous touch of the Holy Spirit that gives you the knowledge of God's saving grace that brings those words to life. See, Peter didn't study his way to salvation. Jesus, he makes it clear that he did not come to this knowledge naturally. And this doesn't just apply to Peter. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesian church that this was always the case, that your salvation, you can't boast in it. You can't even boast in the works that come from your salvation because it's all a gift from God. It's all God's grace for each and every one of us. God the Son is revealed to Peter through God the Father in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And we sang about it this morning, and I just noticed it. When God changes your name, you got big things coming. It is a prophetic sign of what you've got on the horizon. See, Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter. And Simon becomes Peter, which sounds like rock because he is foundational in the creation of a church that Jesus said is God's primary weapon against the gates of hell, a weapon guaranteed by Jesus to demolish the gates of hell. And in those days, gates of a city were very important things. Political and philosophical discussions took place at the gates. Leaders of the city sat at the gates. Gates are your primary defense. Jesus tasks Peter with the creation of a church that would defeat the plans, the rulers, and the defenses of hell. all built on a church whose cornerstone is Christ. I've mentioned on a couple of different Wednesdays that despite my demeanor and despite my penchant for mentioning the wretchedness of man, I am a theological optimist. I hear some chuckles. But it's true. I am a theological optimist because of verses like Matthew 16, 18. Jesus prophesies a triumphant church. It's because all authority is Christ's here and now. Christ is putting his enemies under his feet here and now. Christ is bringing justice to all the earth here and now. The coastlands await his law. The nations are his heritage, his possession. His kingdom is the rock that will smash all other kingdoms and create a mountain that flows throughout the entirety of the earth. That's why I'm a theological optimist. That's what we've been promised. I am not waiting for us to continually lose here and then for Jesus to come and pick up the mess. I believe that Jesus will triumph through his church, not despite his church. I want in on that. And this statement about battering down the gates of hell, this is not something that happens in heaven. This is something that we are meant to do here and now. This is a battle cry. Jesus, he gives Peter the specs for the weapon that's going to do it. And he says, go forge that weapon. And this is a great job for Peter. This is right in Peter's skill set because Peter is not known for his defensive posture. Okay? Even when Christ said difficult things, Peter was right there. When Jesus told the crowds that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to have a part on him, they took off. And then Jesus turned and looked at the apostles and he said, what about you? Are you going to go too? This is what Peter said to him. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life and we have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter marches forward, always forward, and he blows the trumpet the entire way. Jesus trusts Peter with the keys to the kingdom. He commissions Peter to preach and teach the things that Jesus is preaching and teaching, to tell people how it is that they're meant to be saved, to repent of their sins and turn to a life that glorifies God. Now, Jesus doesn't give Peter the ability to forgive sins. That is a misconception. Only God can forgive our sins. But he does say that Peter needs to tell people that they need to repent, receive God's forgiveness, live in accordance with the grace that they are offered in God. And the language that he uses, this language of binding and loosing, this is a very common thing in the Jewish community of that time. And it's done when people are talking about either teaching God's law or adjudicating God's law. This binding and loosing, it has nothing to do with binding spirits. It has nothing to do with loosing power from heaven. This has to do with God's law and Peter being a gatekeeper for those sorts of things, letting people know, teaching them, educating them on the things that are in God's law and what God expects from us. He doesn't get any kind of authority beyond what Scripture has already said or what God shows him prophetically. What Jesus gives him isn't necessarily power, it's responsibility. Peter needs to lead people for the good of the people that he's leading, not to have power over them, not to lord this sort of position over him. He needs to exhort people on how to get to Christ, to how to walk the narrow path. There's no mistaking Peter's loyalty, his belief. Jesus calls Peter the rock because he is firm in his convictions. He is firm in his doctrine. He is immovable. But even a blessing as great as this leads Peter to sin. His confidence in his belief in Jesus, in his closeness to Christ, causes him to take a kidney shot. Skip down to verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter. He said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Now, I don't know exactly how much time takes place in between verses 16 and 19 and verses 21 through 23. It's a little bit, but the closeness in the narrative shows us just how quickly we can take a wrong turn. Just how quickly we can go in an ungodly direction. Peter goes from saying, "Jesus, we know who you are. You're the Savior of the world. You're the only way to do this. Oh, but by the way, I don't like the way you're doing it." This is hard. This is a hard thing. It just shows how dangerous it can be when you're trying to help out God. His pride in his belief, it just causes him to run off at the mouth. He wants Jesus to rule and reign. He just doesn't understand how that rule and reign is meant to take place. And rather than take Jesus' word for it, he decides to tell him how he thinks it should look. And we all do this, don't we? We all do it. We read in the scriptures the things that we're meant to do. We get a word from God and just he puts things on our hearts that we are meant to do or meant to receive. And then what do? We make our own plans. We try to do it in our own power. We try to do it in a timeline that we find to be acceptable. That's not how we're supposed to do it. And it's Peter just doesn't want Jesus to suffer, right? Like this is not necessarily a bad thing. He doesn't want Jesus to have to go through these things. He doesn't want anybody that's following after Jesus to have to go through these things. But that's not how it works. See, faith isn't just believing in the victory. Faith is submitting yourself to God's path to victory. Every single step. Faith is submission to God, knowing that his ways are best. And leadership is encouraging people to maintain that faith, encouraging them to move forward in that faith, letting them know that these sufferings that you are going through and helping people get through their sufferings, they're not going to amount to even a small piece of the glory that we have to look forward to. Peter learned this lesson. He learned from his impatience. In his first letter that he wrote to the Christian Jews that were dispersed amongst the Roman Empire, he wrote this: "Beloved, do not be surprised when the fiery trial, when it comes upon you, to test you, as if something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when the glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and that of God rests upon you." Peter learned from his prideful impatience. When we see God's ways, we are meant to adopt them. That's what sanctification is, right? When we see what God wants us to do, we follow that, even if we've been going in the wrong direction prior. That's sanctification. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit given to us to make us more Christ-like in our walk. Our leaders, like Peter, are not perfect. They need sanctification. I need sanctification. And some sins, yes, I will grant you, there are some sins that ought to prohibit you from a leadership role. There are some sins that ought to take you out of being a leader. However, other sins, short-lived, short-sighted sins, can still be repented of. We can still move on from those sins, even if you are a leader. But a leader has to show that they've learned from their mistakes. They have to review the game tape and go, yep, I'm not going to make that call again. Sure, our leaders get clocked by an uppercut, but then they learn that how the opponent telegraphs their punches. Jesus doesn't take the keys to the kingdom back from Peter. He rebukes him sharply, calls him Satan. But he doesn't say, "You're out." He doesn't kick him out of the kingdom. He rebukes him and he says, "Get your mind on the things of God. Don't worry about the things that you're seeing on here, around here. We're going in my direction. We're following after Jesus." There are some attacks that are still going to take our leaders off guard. Preparation, study, self-control. It helps in the response time. It helps in the recovery process. Good leaders don't wallow when the other team scores a point. Good leaders don't feel sorry for themselves when they lose a game. Because guess what? If you do that, then the team that you're leading is just going to continue to lose right alongside you. If you're in combat and you are leading men into war, if something goes wrong, you don't have time in order to pity yourself. You are responsible for those men's lives. So you have to get them out of that hole, even if you were the one that dug it for them in the first place. You need to repent. You need to recalibrate. You need to rejoice. Repent of the things you've done wrong, where you've led poorly. We've all done it. So repent. Recalibrate. Get your mind back on the things of God. Get into God's word. Find out what's your responsibility. What are you meant to do in these situations? Recalibrate yourself to the things of heaven. And then rejoice. Because God's mercies are new for us every day. His Holy Spirit empowers us past our failings to move on. He will finish the good work he started in us. Now, this wouldn't be the last time Peter failed. In fact, in Matthew 26, we see what is probably Peter's most well-known failing. And I'm paraphrasing for time, but starting in verse 31, Jesus said, "You will all fall away because of me this night, For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now, not only is this Jesus speaking, Savior of the world, Son of God, but he is quoting from the prophet Zechariah. So this isn't Jesus throwing the disciples under the bus. This isn't him calling them cowards. This is him making a guarantee. I'm telling you, the Old Testament's telling you, this is going to happen. But Peter answers him, though they all fall away, I will never fall away. Jesus said, truly I say to you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. You can see Peter's pride here. And that's sinful in and of itself. But think about what this actually entails. Peter is calling Jesus a liar in this. Not only is he calling the Son of God a liar in this, he's saying that the prophet Zechariah, who Jesus is quoting, is a false prophet, essentially. That's how deep this kind of thing goes. And we don't think of it that way. We want to gloss over it. How deep, how dangerous is that? And it's not only dangerous for him, because he has so much zeal, he has so much conviction in what he says, he gets the 11 other guys to go, yep, me neither. So now not only is he in sin, but he led all those other men into sin with his exuberance and his pride. So let's see what happened. So this is going on. Jesus is being tried and led to his crucifixion, and we catch up with Peter down at verse 69. Peter was sitting in the courtyard. A servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them. He went out to the entrance, and another servant girl saw him, and she said, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it. After a while, bystanders came up to him and said, certainly, you are one of them. Your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately, the rooster crowed. This is Peter's best known failing. And he wouldn't see Jesus again before he died, before he was crucified. But they would meet up again after Christ was resurrected on a couple of different times. So let's contrast Peter's best known failing with Peter's last interaction with Jesus. The apostles are out on their boats fishing. Jesus calls them in for a little breakfast on the beach. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus replied, feed my lambs. Jesus said a second time, Simon, do you love me more than these? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus replied, tend my sheep. Jesus said a third time, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and you walked where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. 3 times. Jesus makes Peter tell him he loves him for each time he denied him. But notice what he also does. Every time he says, "Do you love me?" he reminds Peter of what his responsibility is. God knows when we've screwed up. And he doesn't want the keys to the kingdom back. He doesn't say that he can't trust you anymore. He will not leave you nor forsake you. His mercy will never run out for those of us who trust in him. He says, "If you love me, show me. Renew your love for me. Tend my flock. Feed my sheep. Make sure that they are nourished. Make sure that they are regimented so that they can go out and fight the war that King Jesus has already won for them." Tells Peter, "Build my church that is going to be the weapon that knocks down hell's gates. I want in on that." So maybe you've been listening to these sermons over the past month or so on leaders, and you're just going, "I don't know where I fit in here. I don't know where this applies. I'm not a leader. I don't know enough. I'm not capable. I'm too sinful." Look at the guy that Jesus made the rock of his church. He made a loud-mouthed, stubborn fisherman from Galilee the rock of his church. Peter went from being a sinful man that just needed to be heard. That's what Simon means, by the way. Needed to be heard. He turned him into Peter. A man changed by the power of the Holy Spirit so much that he would preach God's truth to the nations across centuries. Here we are, centuries later, looking back at the things that Peter had to teach, looking back at the things that Christ did through Peter, a fisherman from Galilee. A man who went from denying Christ as he was taken away to be crucified to a man that would be crucified upside down for his faith in Christ. A man that was crucified upside down because he said he was not worthy to die in the same way that his Savior did. All through the power of God. See, we don't have to worry about ourselves. God pushes us through. God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the power to do these things. God removes our hearts of stone with the same power he used to move the stone out of the way of Jesus' tomb. There's no sin that hasn't been paid for those of us who believe on Christ. There's no mistake that's too big for God to forgive, or God to show you and teach you and grow you through. God will use you if you rely on him. If you call upon the name of Jesus, if you repent of your sins, if you lean upon God's grace, Jesus, God will lead you to lead others. in a multitude of ways. Maybe even like this. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with the mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. This Jesus God raised up, and all of you to that are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, and you yourselves are hearing and seeing it now. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and for your children and for all those that are far off, all whom God calls to himself. That's Peter's first sermon. If the Holy Spirit can change Peter so radically that he would stand up in front of a crowd of people that saw Jesus crucified, that yelled, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" and let a murderer go free. Peter stands up in front of that crowd and says, "Turn from your sin, trust in Jesus. The man you killed will still save you." No God is as gracious as that. No God but our God. Can I get the prayer team and the deacons to the front, please? Has God called you to himself? Do you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Do you want to join up with the army that's going to batter down hell's gates to win a war that we've already been guaranteed to win? You don't often get an opportunity like that. You don't often get to know that victory is assured and still get to join that team. Our God is that gracious. Our God will forgive you. Let him show you. Let him show you the way to lead your life, that it would glorify his holy name. Come down. Say, "I want to give my life to Jesus. The Lord has called me unto himself this morning." Talk to one of these people. They will pray with you. They will tell you the way to go, to walk on that path. And you just never know where that path is going to lead you. You can't imagine the glories that you'll see. Let's all stand. Let's pray before we worship. Lord God, you are gracious. You are good to us beyond measure, beyond what we deserve, Lord. You have shown us the way that we ought to walk in it, Lord. Now I pray that you would empower us to do so. God, for those of us that didn't know you before this morning, Lord, I pray that you would make them bold enough to come down, to start that journey, to never turn back from it, Lord. We know that you can keep them in it. Lord God, you are that good. Let us never forget it. Let us never turn away from it. Let us walk in it. Be grateful for it. Be so grateful. And not to cling to it in a way that would have us keep it from others, Lord, but there is never There is never a shortage to your grace. There is never a shortage to your mercy. You have more of it and more of it to give. Let us go and show other people that you will have mercy for them as well. If they turn to Jesus, turn from their sins. Lord, we're walking in a world that needs you now more than ever. But we know that you will not leave us. You will not forsake us. And you will have victory through us, Lord. Let us get to that work. Let us be your victorious church. Starting as we leave this place this morning, as we give worship and honor to you, Lord, let that be a battle cry for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blood of Christ. The blood that we do not deserve. The resurrection that triumphs over sin and death. It is his name, his glorious name, that we pray this morning. Amen.
Out of the wilderness, into your deliverance, look where I'm standing now. Hands that once were chained,
receive it.
Now lifted high in prayer.
If you need prayer, come and
look
receive it right now. If you need to meet Jesus, talk to one of these folks
look
up in the front.
If
you need prayer for any need, come on right now and they'll pray with you.
Jesus, my
Thank you, Lord, that we are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you that we can experience and have experienced incredible freedom. And Lord, as we go from this place, I pray that every single person that has experienced that would continue to walk in that amazing freedom. And every person that has yet to know you, yet to step into that, that God, that today would be their day. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. If you'd like prayer, you can come and receive it. If you need to meet Jesus, come and talk to one of these folks. They'll help you. God bless you, friends. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. If you're brand new, I'd love to meet you. I'll be in the cafe in a couple of minutes, and we can talk and meet for just a moment. I'd love to do that. Anyway, God bless you. See you Wednesday night.
At my door.